If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Dini al-Islami dini wal-Azam ghayru dini Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Are going to talk about some of the Islamic laws about medical issues and conditions according to Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography and we'll be back. Don't go away.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. We are going to talk about some of the Islamic laws about medical issues and conditions, according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Okay, Sheikh Javid, you know, is IVF or test tube babies or having them, you know, permissible when we all know that the sperm and the egg belong to a lawfully wedded couple?
Well, there is no objection to carrying out the procedure in itself. And of course, IVF is now very common around the world. Mm-hmm. Here in Iran also, for example, we have special IVF treatment centers which have license from the government. Of course, you know, Iran is also one of the leading countries in terms of artificial insemination and IVF treatment. Of course, IUI is also there. You know, Ayatollah Khamenei, may Allah grant him long life, says that it is obligatory to keep away from any preliminary step that might involve committing a haram act like prohibited looking and prohibited touching, unless when it comes to, for example, to necessity. Now, when it comes to IVF, of course, we are talking about IVF, in vitro fertilization, you know. Mm-hmm. This kind of fertilization, when it comes to the preliminary steps, like, for example, the woman needs her husband's sperm. And without this, her husband's sperm, of course, the fertilization will not take place. Now, the fertilization sometimes takes place in a laboratory, or sometimes the sperm is directly inserted into the woman's vagina or womb.
Yes.
So, you know, the man has to, let's say, masturbate in order to give his
sperm
sample to the doctor. Now, if he himself masturbates, it's forbidden. And masturbation, self-gratification, self-stimulation is forbidden.
Right.
Now, how can this prohibition be somehow ameliorated or mitigated by somehow? You know, the man who wants to give his sperm to the doctor for fertilization can ask his wife to help him masturbate. And of course, he can do it with the hand of his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, of course, it's not haram.
Forbidden.
It's not forbidden because he is using his wife's hand to masturbate or to ejaculate.
Right. There are some questions related to this, but because of shortage of time, we have to take a break.
Sure.
So let's have a break and then we'll be back. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the Library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. We were talking about some of the Islamic laws about medical issues with Sheikh Javid here in this program. And before the break, I asked you about the IVF or test tube babies, and you talked about artificial insemination, right?
Sure.
And there are some questions quite related to what you were, saying before the break, such as, for example, if the sperm comes from, if the husband, or is not capable of producing proper sperms, in fact, to be part of the insemination, is it possible, is it permissible to have the sperm from elsewhere? Like from the sperm bank?
Well, it's haram to, according to the religious authorities, including Islamists, it's haram to for a woman to conceive a child with the sperm of a stranger or a man who is not her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fertilization should be should take place, and her husband's sperm must be used to fertilize the eggs of the woman. So it's not permissible, according to the religious authorities in general, in His Eminence in particular, to get a woman impregnated, or to make for a woman to become pregnant with the sperm of a stranger.
But what if they don't directly inseminate it, in fact, into the woman's vagina, or they have it like mixed in a test tube?
But even then, because there are legal issues that will arise. Mm-hmm. Now, who is the father of the child? One child cannot have two fathers.
In the Western countries, they usually don't announce it. It's quite unknown. They get it from the sperm bank without any divulging of information.
You are right. No information is disclosed. You are right. And that's why, the Western passports do not have any father name.
Yes.
Because the father is not known, mm-hmm. and they have just removed the father name, but that's not the case with mm-hmm. the Iranians. The father must be known.
The Muslim countries.
Muslim countries, yes. Of course, whose child are you?
Mm-hmm.
So the father must be known, and this must be a known individual. That must be your legal father, your biological father. No mm-hmm. one else can be the father of a child, you see, except the husband. Mm-hmm. So these issues are there, and these, because of the legal consequences, and because the Islam attaches tremendous importance to the lineage
mm-hmm.
and to one's parental relationship. So that's why it's not
Sheikh Javid, very quick question. Let me squeeze it in here at the end of this program. And that's regarding the previous question that I asked you, if the husband is not capable of, in fact, producing the right sperm for the insemination or fertilization, and if the continuity of their marriage is somehow dependent on having a baby, then would it be permissible again to get it from a sperm bank from another individual?
Well, it is mentioned that carrying out the procedure in itself and of itself is permissible, but it is not permissible for the wife to borrow sperm from the sperm bank, or to borrow a sperm from a neighbor, or from someone else who is not related to him or to her. So. Those related, they cannot give. The mm-hmm. only person whose sperm must be used is the husband.
Let's reverse.
Now, when it comes, let's consider it. There is, for example, the surrogacy issue.
Mm-hmm.
The woman wants to be as a surrogate mother.
Yes.
Now the child and the sperm and the eggs belonging to another couple
mm-hmm.
is planted or placed inside the woman's womb. There is no objection.
Uh-huh.
It is permissible
as a surrogate mother.
As a surrogate mother, surrogacy is permissible
uh-huh.
because at the end of the day, the child will be handed over to the father. And the father actually is the person to whom the sperm belongs, and the mother is the person to whom the eggs belong.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. We have come to the end of this program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salamun Aleemun Malajan La ilaha illahum Ghaffarun Jameelun Wahhabun Latifun Tawwabun Samiun Basir La ilaha illahum وحيد قدير محيي المميت الظاهر والباطن.
لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو